We drink our coffee with milk and sugar. And as we age, we drink it with milk only. Then we drink it black, then we drink it decaf, then we die. Our next eatery is at decaf. The difficulty in his marriage began after he named his children mild, medium, and hot. But he will not let domestic issues get in the way of the task at hand. Competitive eating is the crucible through which greatness is forged. And the evidence comes before us now. His good cholesterol is low. His bad cholesterol is high. And his BMI is borderline presidential. He stands before us like Hercules himself, albeit a large, bald Hercules at an eating contest. This year I decided I would finally take him on my own. It's time to take a stand, test my salivary glands, test my teeth and my tongue, take my life in my hands. Gonna eat with Badlands, compete with Badlands, go for broke, go to town, go for down on demand. If he succeeds here today, we will credit the Tallahassee Two Hands, an eating method so dangerous and difficult to master that it was abandoned in the 1930s. He's bringing it back.
Those are the stylings of George Shea. James Westling with me. I'm Rich Phillips, and we are in for the invasion today, and we are going to talk now to that guy, George Shea, the CEO of Major League Eating. You know him best as the intro guy for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which comes up this Thursday, I believe 10 a.m. Central on ESPN. George, how are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes, you are on the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline. As a matter of fact, George and I actually had a chance to work together several years ago when I worked at Texas Motor Speedway, and we had him do all of our commercials for races one year for TV and for radio. And man, let me tell you, George, it was awesome for those of us on my staff there at Texas Motor Speedway to watch the magic in studio. There is nothing quite like watching George Shea go over the top. Are these things fun for you to do like that?
You know, for me, it's an enormous amount of fun. The 4th of July is my favorite day of the year. There's a certain amount of tension because, you know, you, in particular on the introductions, people don't see there's a 2.5-hour stage show, and it's very fun and very silly and lighthearted. And that's kind of just fun. But the introductions require you to, you know, memorize them all and then hit, you know, everything within a certain time frame, usually about 10 minutes. So it's, you know, there's a lot of anxiety, but to truth be told, it's my favorite day of the year, and those are my favorite minutes. You know, it's very exciting.
George, do you come up with all of your introductions yourself, and what is that process like?
Well, you know, I absolutely do. And then what I do is I just write everything down that strikes me as interesting or poetic or compelling or funny. And without any thought, if something, just a phrase comes up, I just put it down. And then, you know, as I go through and sort of in the spring, I start looking at my notes and sort of compiling the things that might have something to work with. And then I sort of start just writing from there. I put them all together. The interesting thing about this is, you mentioned Texas Motor Speedway. It was such a pleasure to be there and to work there. But when you do NASCAR or something like that, you really need to do everything as a heroic, epic intro, right? You're not going to make fun of a top NASCAR driver. When we do the intros on the 4th of July, it's really much more of a mix with the epic and the grand, but also the comedic and the absurd. So it's really a mishmash of intros.
We're talking to George Shea. He is the announcer for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which will be this Thursday, of course, on July 4th. A few weeks ago, George, bombshell news in your world. No Joey Chestnut, the defending champion, will not be back this year because of a competing sponsor deal. How shocked were you, and is there any chance that this will ever get reconciled?
Well, I was very shocked, and I mean, the short answer is we never banned him from the contest. We would never ban him. He's always welcome. In fact, what happened in short is that he has very aggressive management. And, you know, they're good business people. And they, before they negotiated with us, they went out and signed two contracts. One, it turns out, was with Netflix. We knew it was a streaming platform where they are basically doing a rival contest to ours. You know, they're doing a takeoff of our contest. So, you know, many people would think that's a slap in the face or at very least a big conflict. But we kind of just said, you know what, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. They're not going to become the 4th of July. If he wants to make money, rock on. But then he also signed a deal with what turns out to be impossible for their entire suite, it seems, of plant-based meats, but including hot dogs. And we asked if they could carve out hot dogs, and they wouldn't. And then that created this impasse, and it blew up in the media. But the one thing I would say is we always wanted Joey. He's a lovely guy, a great champion, the face of the 4th of July. We always want him to be there. And ultimately what we did is we conceded on the exclusivity and the conflict. We just conceded and said, fans want you there. You're welcome to come. But we still couldn't reach an agreement with his team. So he's going to Fort Bliss to eat with the troops. And I have to tell you, it's a great tribute to our armed forces. And, you know, if he can't be with us, it's certainly a great place to be. So we support that 100%.
But, George, who the hell wants to eat a plant-based hot dog now? Come on.
So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there because in our divided world, you know, the Twitter is heating up even as you said that. The real hot dog, and the real hot dog is Nathan's Famous, right? 100% beef and the spices. That's what I love. But I'm not going to weigh in on other people's choices.
All right, George. So first it was Kobayashi, and then it was Joey Chestnut. Is it like other sports, if you will, where, you know, are there other contestants that have potential to kind of take over as somebody who dominates the event, or will it be by committee?
Well, you know, we have, you know, every year there is sort of, it's unfair to say this, a second tier below Joey that is eating in the 50 hot dog range, which itself is obviously extraordinary. The problem is Joey's in the 70 range, mm-hmm. right? So no one, as far as I know, can beat Joey Chestnut, right? And I have not seen the person who can. However, I said the same thing about Kobayashi, and Joey beat him 3 times in a row. So you one never knows, but right now, frankly, no one's beating Joey Chestnut. However, since Joey has chosen not to be there, and I think that's a shame because, you know, truly the people don't care who wins. They would just want to see Joey come up and dominate and hold up that belt. And that's what we wanted as well. It's kind of a tradition almost. But he's not going to be there, which opens up really an extraordinary contest between 4 individuals in particular. Jeffrey Esper, who's the number 2 ranked eater in the world, 51 hot dogs and buns. You have the number 5 ranked eater in the world, James Webb of Australia, who can eat 47 hot dogs and buns, but has beaten everybody, including Joey Chestnut, a ton in the last year. I think he's going to be well into the 50s. And then you have Nick Wherry and Patrick Bertoletti, both at that on the bubble of 50. So this is going to be like super contested, and we absolutely will not know who's going to win until the very end.
George Shea, the announcer for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, joining us here on The Ticket. Legend has it the first Nathan's Hot Dog Contest was actually as far back as 1916. It's been held at this same Coney Island location since 1972. George, how did you become involved with it? And did you ever see it going to grow to the level that it has here, where it's a national spectacle every July 4th?
You know, I absolutely did not anticipate this, and it give you a little window into my soul. There was no plan. There was no business plan. It was just what would be funny and what would be interesting and compelling, and that's what did it. I joined – we could talk – if we were at a cocktail party, I'd tell you the story, but I joined a firm with these old Coney Island press agents in 1988, and they were just crazy, and one of them did the hot dog contest. And I stayed with the other in the firm for 10 years. And when Max Rosie, who ran the hot dog contest, died in 91, I took it over and began building it up. It was very small back then, very, a couple cameras, a couple people. But I began doing stunts, and it was a great contrast to the regular PR. Like, communications and PR can be kind of a grueling and difficult and anxiety-filled kind of thing, and the hot dog contest was pure fun. And that's how it sort of grew. And then I started my own firm in 97, and my brother and I created the International Federation of Competitive Eating, now Major League Eating, and it just grew and grew and grew from there. But never at any point did I say, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to do this. Never, never.
George, I think you mentioned that you memorize your intros. So if that's the case, even if you don't, I mean, how much do you rehearse your intros?
A lot. So I'm going to have cue cards, old fashioned, not a monitor. Right? We're in Coney Island. There will be cue cards with the list of people in order, right? Like, I can't remember that. And then there are sometimes these stats, right? Like 34 hot dogs and buns versus 30 hot dogs and buns versus 10 pounds of macaroni and cheese. And if you have 15 people with all these different records, I need to have like just a reference point. And I will memorize them, but you really do need that. But then I memorize all these intros. And what's funny is, so I will do these sort of elaborate narratives, you know, but quick, you know, 30, 40 seconds. But those are easy to memorize. What is hard for me is a long list of just sort of arbitrary facts, right? Like records, you know what I'm saying? So, but I've been walking around the house for the past 3 days, right? The whole weekend, just repeating the intros over and over. So thankfully I was alone, because they would have had to call, you know, medical personnel and put me away in Bellevue.
George, what do we call the style of the hat that you wear? You're the only guy I know who wears it.
It's a straw boater, very popular in the early 1900s, perhaps less popular now, but big on the 4th of July.
All right, well, the straw boater, you'll have the blue blazer, I'm sure, on 10 a.m. Central Time, right, on Thursday on ESPN for the contest, correct?
Absolutely. So it will start noon Eastern, and we look forward to seeing everybody. And it's going to be a great get. We're not going to have crazy weather like last year, so it's going to be good.
Awesome. Hey, George, great to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy 4th of July to all of you and all of your listeners.
Great. Thanks a lot. That is George Shea. I love calling him the CEO of Major League Eating.
That was awesome.
And he's, of course, the intro guy and the hype guy for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest this Thursday on ESPN. I only watch for George. I can't watch the rest of it, but I like to watch George
Shea. He's the man.
I wish I could write as many adjectives in one sentence as he does, like that.